The title of my sermonette today is Start With Why. Now, throughout my life, I've always been interested in this thought. How can you grow, build, and seek out new things? How can you become something new without having a vision? You have to set something in mind before you can start to create the guiding set of rules and tools that will help you. And there is a guy that I follow, and he coined a term and he called it the golden circle. And he has studied human behavior and people who were considered great leaders. And he puts it this way. He says that you have to start with a why. And this why is the core of a circle. It then progresses in the circle to how and then what. The importance of starting with a reason is so important in all that we do. And in fact, he had this quote. He says, "When we communicate from the outside in, people can understand vast amounts of information. But it doesn't drive decision making." So what is being stated is that when we start a decision making process, and we don't start with a reason, then we start by trying to affect an outcome that we can't see. The same author had this quote. It says, "Most people ignore opportunities because they only see danger. Visionaries ignore danger because they see opportunities." And it's this quote that sparked my interest. It's people who center themselves on a why that make the most stride in life. Now, a vision or an understanding of why we are doing what we are doing is how we ground ourselves. Take, for example, great buildings, monuments, or anything that takes time to build or grow. Now, if we don't have a plan, an understanding of what we are working towards, what will keep us motivated? Motivation can come and go. But if there's an end goal, something tangible that can be reached for, it's easier to keep going. And it seems that it's always been this way for people. If we started reading the Bible from the beginning, we read of the early fathers who had faith. And it's interesting to note their vision. What they saw as being a reality, even though they couldn't actually see it. Now, why did Noah decide to obey God? What motivated that? What motivated Abraham to leave Haran? What motivated Isaac to continue living close to God? Now, Jacob's choice was also motivated on a why. If you turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 7, we'll read of the early fathers. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, and we'll read to verse 11. It says, By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And then in verse 17, we'll read to verse 21. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. In verse 22, too, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Now, these men and all the people mentioned in chapter 11 of Hebrews truly understood their why and the vision that God gave to them. In verse 6 of chapter 11, it says, "For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So our faith relies on God's promises and his plan for us and all of mankind. You know, oftentimes, God's promises, they're unseen. But so many have had their why based on this. You know, if we as Christians just say we believe the Bible, we read the Bible, maybe we act somewhat on what the Bible preaches, but we don't fully have the vision that God has in mind for us, then we will lose our course. We will lose our hope. We will lose ourselves to this world and be overcome by sin. Proverbs 29 in verse 18. Proverbs 29 and verse 18 has this to say. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. You know, we have to have our mind's eye every single day on what we are working towards. All the pieces of how we do it, the tools we use, the commandments and the laws, while they're important, they only help to build the end product. Now, if our sight isn't clearly focused, then our straight and narrow will start to wiggle. And the longer we are off from our vision, the more we start to fall away. Now, God's vision for us can be seen in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God is not visionless. He has seen us before we were even born. He knows what we are capable of. He knows for what purpose He has called us. Do we trust in God's vision for us? The Apostle Peter talked about this centuries ago in 2 Peter 3 and beginning in verse 11. Second Peter 3 and verse 11. Peter says, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." Verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless." Peter's admonition is to really look at our why and to hold on to it. A vision of one person can be a powerful thing. One person working towards an end goal, if that person is sincere and zealous, that person can change history. And indeed, history has been changed. But even more powerful is a group of people who have come to have a common why in mind. Now, Peter mentioned that in verse 11. He says, "What manner of persons ought you to be?" It's a group. We have to stay continually focused on our goal. So let's not lose our way now, but rather really set our eyes and keep a firm grasp on our soon approaching reality, the end of our vision.